Jason, the Bears still don't have a stadium deal, but they want to get one soon. We'll talk about that more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, we are still at the Arizona Biltmore, where the owners' meetings concluded on Tuesday. Wednesday morning, George McCaskey and Kevin Warren came to talk about the stadium. Shocker, there's not a whole lot new there, short of yet another plea for them to get this thing done quickly.
Yeah, there's no actual news. There was some insight, but no actual news. The news itself, Patrick, is that as we record this, next month marks 5 years since this process really got going. And 5 years in, almost, they don't know where it's going to be.
Right.
That's mind-boggling how slowly that has gone. Now, they would frame it and did frame it. Kevin Warren and George McCaskey framed it Wednesday morning as, hey, it's a good thing. We've got two great options. One thing that George McCaskey said, George McCaskey and Kevin Warren both were extending the timeline of this for Illinois to give them the tax certainty or the pilot legislation that they need in Arlington Heights. Mm-hmm. And there'd be no reason to do that unless that was truly your preference,
yeah,
is to build in Arlington Heights and not Hammond, Indiana. George McCaskey said there is not a deal on the table to consider, period, with either site. Mm-hmm. Both sites have some part of it done, but neither is ready for a red light or green light, mm-hmm, from the organization. Indiana's got the legislation. This site has some things left to be worked out. Arlington Heights has the site, but not the legislation and the tax certainty. Mm-hmm. So there is no choice to make for the Bears right now, according to them. And I think that it wouldn't be very difficult for them at this stage, practically speaking, to move forward on Indiana. Mm-hmm. I think what they're doing is keeping things in play for Arlington Heights, because that is, while they aren't saying this, truly where they want to be.
And also, they're trying to get the best deal they can. And Arlington Heights could offer them, they say tax certainty, but you know, we can say tax breaks. If the Illinois legislature decides to pass a law saying that the Bears can negotiate property taxes instead of paying what the law says they need to pay. And they have until they shut down, what, May 31st, I believe, the Illinois legislature. So that's 2 months. And I don't think it's coincidental at all that Kevin Warren's saying we want to have a decision by late spring, early summer. I don't think it's a coincidence at all that Roger Goodell yesterday, when I asked about the stadium, launched into a, hey, we got to get this done quickly. I think the Bears and the NFL commissioner, and remember, the NFL commissioner works for the Bears, not the other way around, are putting as much pressure as they can on Illinois to give them what they want. And then, and only then, are they going to make a decision. I asked Kevin Warren, hey, is it easy, or is it as simple as if they give you this tax break, you will stay? And he said no. And then Adam Hogue followed up with, well, is the inverse or the converse, inverse? Which one is it?
The opposite is true.
Is the opposite true that if they don't give it to you, you're going to Indiana? And he said, well, not necessarily either. So there,
he wouldn't box himself into any path.
No, he wouldn't. And part of that is that's what you do when you're negotiating. And they're negotiating with both sides. They referred to what's left in Indiana as due diligence. I think that's probably a polite way to, as you said, keep doing homework on the stadium site, but also try and keep them at bay for a couple of months while you figure out what happens in the Illinois world of politics.
They basically have an offer from Indiana, and they're trying to secure an offer from Illinois to be in Arlington Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't really any reason to maneuver that way unless what you really would like to do is Arlington Heights.
Correct. And I think it makes sense that, I mean, they bought this land. This isn't foisted upon them. They bought 326 acres in Arlington Heights 4 years ago?
5 years ago, we should say. Yeah. 5 years ago, started the process on that.
So on one hand, like...
You should always say that.
Yeah.
5 years.
So on one hand, like, of course that's their preference. That's the land they own. But, you know, there have been so many false starts there that the fact that they even... I think we need to remind ourselves that, yeah, I mean, if it were you, wouldn't you rather build a house on land you own than build it on somebody else's land? I mean, that just makes sense to me. And not to mention the fact that the Bears are hung up for reasons good and bad in the tradition of their franchise.
Well, there's the interesting question that I want to ask you about, because Kevin Warren said that he did not have to convince George McCaskey or any other McCaskeys about Indiana when this first came up. George McCaskey said on Wednesday, this is not a big deal. Basically, I'm paraphrasing completely.
Right.
That Bears fans will adjust, that the Giants and Jets, in the New York Giants and New York Jets play in New Jersey, and nobody really raises any issues about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that George was totally comfortable with moving this team that has been in Illinois forever into Indiana. And the Bears are one of the few professional sports teams where this is the family business.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get rich on some other thing and then buy a football team. This is the family business. It has been in the family for over 100 years. And by the way, few family businesses of any kind stay in the family that many generations. There is almost always a point where you get to maybe the third generation of ownership, and that generation doesn't have any connection to the founder, and it's time to cash in. Family businesses of all sizes.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because before she died, Virginia McCaskey had her children and grandchildren read studies about that in order to identify how to look for breaking points and how to look for pitfalls. And you know, I talked to George McCaskey about this separately later. It's not him holding the family together. He said it's kind of everybody's got to be invested enough to not splinter. And, you know, he said it himself. Somebody said, "How are you going to pay for this thing?" He said, "Well, the family is going to borrow money because we don't have it."
Yeah.
And you can, I mean, he's talked about this a couple times, but you can feel the tension when he says that. Mm-hmm. That is a big, scary thing. And even though there may be no better investment on planet Earth than the NFL, you can understand why a family that likes to operate with little debt is intimidated by this whole thing.
What the Bears are worth is not what they have in a bank account somewhere to just hand over for the stadium. But what I wanted to ask you is, when George McCaskey talks so comfortably about moving this team that is in his family, that he cares so much about the tradition and legacy of his family with the Bears, do you believe him, or do you think that it is just very smart public comments that keep all the options open as they move forward?
I think they'll go to Indiana if they have to. And what that threshold is, I don't know that anybody knows. I think it's a threat that they would rather not follow through on. That's just reading the tea leaves. But again, if it were up to their... I mean, I think if it were up to George McCaskey, they'd be playing on the lakefront, you know, in a new stadium that you call Soldier Field 2. Mm-hmm. And they'd own everything and they'd own the luxury boxes. But that's just not a world that was possible. And it may be that a world in which they play in Arlington Heights isn't possible either. You know, he pointed out today that George Halas played for a team in Hammond, Indiana in what, 1919?
Did he say the Hammond All-Stars was the name of it?
Something like that. And then he said the Hammond All-Stars played their football games at Cubs Park. So even then, there was no stadium in Hammond, Indiana for an NFL team. I think that... if they end up going to Hammond, I'm sure the Bears will have a way to spin this as somehow a continuation of you know, George Halas's wishes, but I do think in a vacuum that they'd rather stay as close to Chicago as possible, culturally and otherwise. And it's not that Hammond isn't close to Chicago. It's that it's in a different state. And I think we've all seen the fan reaction in the last couple of months that for whatever reason, that has triggered people in Chicago in a way that moving to the suburbs did not.
The other thing about it is that if you care about what that part at all that you just mentioned, Arlington Heights is smack in the middle of their highest concentration of season ticket holders. Mm-hmm. It is not just in the Chicago area. It is in the right Chicago area for them client-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And that was something that they shouted from the rooftops when they thought they were going to build in Arlington Heights. And now it's an argument against their other option. It's also on a metro line, Jason, and that's a giant deal. It's a place where you don't have to create infrastructure in a way that you would building in Indiana. It's, you know, they're going to have to build, you know, hotels and apartments and restaurants and all of that stuff. But it seems a lot more ready to go for a lot of reasons than the Indiana side does. Now, you know, if the Bears were, you know, construction billionaires, maybe they'd look at Indiana as a fresh opportunity and something that could be really fun to build out. I don't know that that's what they want to do. I think that they want to, like I said, not go do what. How much did the SoFi Stadium cost?
SoFi was, wasn't it $6 billion?
Yeah. They don't want to go nuts.
Most of them have been more like 1.3 to 2.1, yeah. Although that price goes up with inflation.
Mm-hmm. And this triggered me just here, or not in a bad way. SoFi's got one of those see-through roofs,
mm-hmm.
and so does U.S. Bank Stadium, which mm-hmm. my favorite stadium and yours, right?
Non-SoFi division, yes.
Kevin Warren did say today that that's what the Bears Dome would have, and that's the first time I've heard him say that out loud. Mm-hmm. So the idea is it feels like you're outdoors, even though you're indoors, and it's pretty cool technology. You know, it's... To me, it takes away that claustrophobic feeling you get in the dome.
Their renderings haven't looked like that. Their renderings have looked like the Raiders stadium.
Right, but he said today it's going to be a CFP roof, something like that. Jason, what was, you know, a year ago at the owners' meeting, Kevin Warren sat down and said, "Hey, check this out. We're going to go back and look at Arlington Heights again, in addition to downtown." Now he's talking about Arlington Heights and a different state. Do you get the sense that the fan base is just eager for them to just figure this out?
I think the fan base finds it easy to get mad at the Bears, even after a good season on the field. Mm-hmm. That doesn't just wash away frustration with mm-hmm. George McCaskey and the organization that has built up over years. So, I mean, they're still kind of an easy target for your fury. The reality is so few people go to games, relatively speaking.
Would George say 7%?
Well, he was saying 7% out of the 100 million fans right. that Kevin Warren said they had globally. But even in Chicago, I mean, there are plenty of diehard Bears fans that don't go to a single game a year. There are many people that maybe they can make it to one a year.
It's a significant financial outlay.
But on any given game, I mean, there's 60,000 people in the stadium, and how many watching on TV?
Right.
Just in the Chicago area. So moving the stadium to Indiana, moving the stadium to the moon doesn't really change a lot for most of the audience. Most of the audience, it's really not going to matter where the stadium is because the stadium is on their television.
Right.
They're right about that.
Yeah.
So this is maybe some kind of artificial outrage, I would say, in some cases.
Yeah, I think it could be. I think it could also be that if you live in New Jersey and you're a Bears fan, you don't care one way or the other. Like, you'd rather listen to the Bears talk about real football stuff.
I'm saying if you live in Schaumburg, that might be your
perspective. It could be. And also, I mean, let's be clear here. Like, I think Kevin Warren and George McCaskey both come at this issue from very different places, just the way their personalities are, is that George is very plain spoken and Kevin is not. And I think that if you find either of those off-putting, you have a target. You know what I mean? If you're a fan. At the end of the day, I just think everybody's ready for them to just make a decision and be done with it.
Well, it sounds like they're going to. I mean, Kevin Warren talked frequently about shovels in the ground by the end of the 2025 calendar year. And George McCaskey did use a phrase like that today. He referred to Arlington Heights as, quote, shovel ready.
Right.
With Kevin Warren sitting in the back of the room. If they are to break ground on it now, that would put them opening it for the 2029 season.
Mm-hmm.
It's still kind of a ways away. And it's already been pushed back 1 year from what Kevin Warren has said publicly. I would imagine the Bears were thinking even earlier when they started this process in 2021 that maybe like by the 27 season or possibly even this season something could have been going.
Remember that?
And now you're talking best case scenario 2029.
Right.
I don't think they can let that drift into another season. I don't think they can let that drift into the 2030 season. And I agree with you that they won't. If it came down to that, they'd go to Indiana to have this thing ready for 2029.
Yeah, and if Illinois politicians don't get something done by May 31st, I just don't know that it makes sense to wait around another, you know, 6 months or more when you've got a bird in the hand.
Or you say, who cares? We want to be in Arlington Heights. That was the truth all along. Called our bluff. We're doing Arlington Heights. But one way or another, you need to do it, and that would put it opening in the 2029 season.
I'm looking forward to next year not having to talk about the stadium at the owners' meetings. What do you think?
I hope that's the case. I couldn't even... it seems impossible that that would be the case. But there are already some parts of this that seem impossible to me. Speaking of things that seem impossible, George McCaskey, as diplomatically and politely as he could, gave us some version of what does the NFL want from us regarding this Ian Cunningham situation.
Right.
He said, essentially, we did what the NFL is asking every team to do. Mm-hmm. We did it. The spirit of it, the letter of it. They identified talent that was a minority. They helped develop that talent to the point where that talent, Ian Cunningham, got a major opportunity. And the team he got that opportunity with to be general manager of the Falcons is telling you he's running the show. And yet the Bears are not getting the two third-round picks, the compensatory picks that are supposed to come with another team hiring a minority candidate from your building for a head coach or general manager job.
And to be clear, they're not getting it because the Falcons interviewed Matt Ryan and Ian Cunningham for their president of the football job, gave it to Matt Ryan. And then the NFL said, okay, that's the chief decision maker.
That is the primary football executive is the term.
Yes. And then Matt Ryan, after they hired Ian Cunningham, said, no, Ian's going to run the draft. Ian's going to run everything. So it seems to me, so the Bears have appealed upon Roger Goodell.
Kevin, in person.
Kevin Warren, George McCaskey, Ryan Poles went to New York to talk to him. They're waiting on some sort of ruling. It seems to me as, I mean, the way George explained it was the NFL is worried about setting a precedent here that they don't want to then have to carry through in the future. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. I am not optimistic that the Bears would get two picks. I just think having the league change their mind is that rarely happens with a monolith. And secondly, like, what are they going to get a third round pick in for the draft that's starting here in 3 weeks? They're going to get it starting next year. I mean, at some point, people set their draft boards, and if you're throwing a Bears pick at the end of the third round, kind of willy nilly, I don't know if there's precedent for that or not.
Yeah, I would say it's more likely something that they will continue to argue, if you want to use that word, that would apply for the 2027 and 28 drafts.
Yeah.
But they are trying for that to be applied for the draft, like you said, that's in 3 weeks. It is pretty I agree with you that it seems unlikely that the NFL will reverse course on something like this.
On anything? Just anything
in
general?
Right, exactly. Yes. But I got to say, Pat, I mean, George McCaskey makes a great point. Mm-hmm. We've done everything in spirit and by the letter of what is supposed to. And by the way, the Bears have maintained throughout that it isn't really about this. They didn't hire Ian Cunningham because he's black. They didn't develop him because he's black. Ryan Poles has called this rule a little weird.
Right.
He thought it was weird when Kansas City got comp picks for him taking the Bears GM job. But it is the rule. Mm-hmm. It is what they are entitled to by the way the game is played in the NFL. So by facilitating Ian Cunningham's development, which they would have wanted to do anyway as a mm-hmm. good organization and as good people, they have, by rule, become entitled to these two third-round picks. So George McCaskey makes a great point on that front. Atlanta is telling you publicly their position is the Bears mm-hmm. should get these picks. And thirdly, I don't know how we are at a point whether there is this new position of president of football or not. I don't know how we're at a point where general manager isn't a good enough job, a serious enough job.
Right.
There's 32 general managers. Even if you were the general manager for New England during Bill Belichick's era, you're the general manager.
Right.
That title alone, for me, is good enough to count.
I think you see it in baseball all the time, though, is that the GM is the president of baseball. And then the guy below him is the GM. And nobody would call the guy below him the decision maker. What makes this so confusing, and we don't need to go too much further down the rabbit hole here, but the Falcons created a title that they hadn't had before with the intent of giving it to their former quarterback who has no front office experience. Full stop. In order to be legal, they had to interview other people, and Ian was one of them. And because when they made this hire, they need to be compliant with the Rooney Rule, right? So I would argue to you that if the NFL is a little is acting strangely about who's in charge here, part of it is because you have a situation where you have somebody whose only point on their resume is throws a great football, who just got a job that got made up out of thin air.
He looks like a figurehead.
He's a figurehead.
Right.
And that in order to hire the figurehead, you need to interview other people, and they did that. So I could see the NFL's point. If the NFL said Ian Cunningham interviewed for his boss's job, didn't get it, and then got hired to work beneath him, mm-hmm. how is he the decision maker? I guess I could understand it. But again, this is it kind of starts more with if you're going to do something goofy like make Matt Ryan, you know, the overlord, I don't know. I think it's as much of a Falcons being weird issue than it is anything else.
The opposition to the Bears argument, as George McCaskey put it, is the NFL's conscientiousness about setting a precedent with this ruling that could then be misapplied in future years. So while you have the Bears for it and the Falcons for it, and by the way, these picks don't come at the expense of the Falcons, but it is highly unusual, even with the Ryan Poles and Cunningham relationship, highly unusual that you have any other team advocating for another team
right.
to get something. It's really abnormal.
Well, and it's worth pointing out too that it's not the Falcons' draft picks.
That's what I said.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's just worth. It's but you're
but
right.
Nobody looks out for anybody else in this. Yeah, this is the jungle, man. This is kill or be killed. Nobody's sitting there saying, you know, I was thinking about it. I was at the pool here at the Biltmore.
Right.
I was having a nice tea, and I was like, you know,
let's help these guys.
Have the Rams really gotten what they should? You know, do the Cardinals deserve a comp pick for something?
Right.
I was just thinking about the other teams and whatever, but that doesn't happen.
No.
That doesn't happen. Also, another somewhat interesting note is there are two spots in the international games this year that the Bears could be plugged into as a road team. Two spots that are not mm-hmm. settled yet. The Bears will play all their home games at Soldier Field this year.
Right.
That's settled. And while those games haven't been announced, it does seem like the Bears aren't gonna get picked for those.
Yeah, what George said today was usually somebody from the league whispers in your ear that you are up for consideration and that they haven't heard anything yet. I guess that doesn't preclude it completely. But I mean, we'd both be surprised if they played against the Lions in Germany, just a divisional game, just seems like something the league wouldn't want to do.
They're doing it to start the season in Australia. But that's a little bit of a different circumstance.
And they're limited there because every team that's going to play in Australia has got to be a West Coast team, just for flight convenience.
I also don't know how much of a Rams home crowd there is compared to the all four NFC North teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to be careful of if you're taking a division game and putting it there, you have to really think about, in terms of fairness, which one you're putting
in. And the other game would be Atlanta in Madrid.
Who the Bears are playing at Falcons at some point this year.
How about this? Bears-Falcons in Madrid. Winner gets a third-round comp pick. What do you think?
All right, I'm in.
All right.
A lot of teams don't want to play what would be their home game against the Bears at a neutral site because of the way Bears fans travel. And, of course, Bears fans are going to travel for a game in Miami or New Orleans or Phoenix. But, Pat, you've seen them. They show up in Cincinnati.
Right.
And they show up in Charlotte. And they certainly would show up in Atlanta. If you're going to have a game moved, it's to the benefit of your city and community for it not to be one where a bunch of Bears fans or, I've seen the Packer fans do, like, they right. travel really well. You don't want to give up a game where you're going to have a particularly high number of visitors coming in and
right.
spending money at your hotels and restaurants.
Yeah, and we went to London when the Bears were the home team against the
Jags,
and we went to London where the Bears were the road team against the Raiders, mm-hmm. and in both cases, the stadium was 96% Bears fans. So that's probably going to happen regardless of where the Bears go. Maybe the league would prefer that they be the home team in those situations. Jason, that'll do it from here. Thus concludes the NFL's owner meeting / annual meeting, however you want to phrase it. Stick with us as the offseason goes on. We're going to have the draft in 3 weeks, and we will have plenty of information leading up to that. And also, we'll check back in with Ryan Poles and Bears executives the week of the draft. Until then, check us out on the Sun-Times website, download the app, or if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.
Hey, Chicago, it's Nudia Hernandez from Vocalo. Taylor Bennett and Adam Keller will be joining me for Vocalo's Summer Meltdown concert on July 11th at Bottom Lounge. It's free and the good vibes are endless. For more, head to wbez.org/events.